Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
Two of my favorite cartoon characters are Calvin and Hobbes. Calvin's a little boy, and Hobbes is his stuffed toy tiger who comes to life in the comic strip. And there's a particular strip that I'm thinking of this morning where Calvin and Hobbes are walking through a beautiful field on a gorgeous summer day. The sun is shining and the birds are singing and the flowers are gorgeous. And Calvin turns to Hobbes and says, "Hobbes, if you could have anything in the world that you wanted, what would it be?" And Hobbes said, "I'd like a sunny field in which to take a nap." Calvin says, "Oh, good grief. If it were me, I would wish for $1,000,000 so I could have anything I wanted." And then in the last part of the comic strip, you see Hobbes lying in the sunny field taking a nap. And Calvin says it's a little bit hard to argue with someone who looks so content. Contentment. It is something that all of us would like. And yet I think often we find ourselves not experiencing contentment. And we wonder why. We wonder why we can't have the peace of contentment in our lives, but rather we seem so often and unfortunately so easily to fall into discontent. Instead of being in a place of peace, we're in a place of pressure. We feel the pressure that something needs to change, that something isn't right. We're discontent with our circumstances. Now, sometimes we will try to do something to change those circumstances, hoping that if we do so, we can experience more contentment. If we are in a career, perhaps we think that if I just reach a certain level within my chosen profession, then I will experience contentment. If I just had a little bit more money in my bank account, then I would be at peace about my financial situation. If I could just have a little bit bigger house, a little bit nicer car, if I could just fit in that size dress or pair of jeans, then I'd be content. And it's not that we are never able to reach some of those goals that we place before us, some of those things that we think will make us content. Sometimes we're actually able to achieve it, and we get there, and perhaps for a brief amount of time we experience a happiness of some kind, but eventually we realize that we really aren't that much more content than when we had less money, or lower in the career ladder, and so on and so forth. Contentment. Is it really available in a way that we can access it? Or are we somehow doomed, if you will, in our human condition and because of the world we live in, to continue to experience discontent in many different ways? Today we come to the final sermon from the book of Philippians that we've been looking at these past few weeks. We're in the fourth chapter of Philippians. We're going to look together at verses 10 through 14, where Paul says something really interesting, very challenging, and depending on your point of view, a little bit disconcerting. He says, "I have found the secret of being content in all circumstances." I have found the secret of being content in all circumstances. Really, Paul? Now, if you are a glasses half full kind of person, you say, well, what's the secret? I'd like to learn it. And if you're a glasses half empty, you're kind of, I don't know. I don't know if something like that is really available to me. I'm not sure, Paul. Maybe he's exaggerating a little bit. This doesn't seem right. Doesn't sound right. Well, I invite you to keep an open mind and let's go to the verses together and let's see if we can explore together what Paul means, that he's found the secret of being content in all circumstances. Again, Philippians chapter 4. Those of you who are here in the sanctuary this morning, these verses you will find in your bulletin. And for those of you at home, you can either follow along with me, read along on the screens up here, or if you have your own Bible, certainly turn there with me. Again, Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. Paul speaking to the believers in the city of Philippi. How I praise the Lord that you are concerned about me again. I know you have always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. We learn earlier in Paul's letter that he is in prison. And while in prison, it seems like that he's running low on material resources. And his friends in the city of Philippi, they send a man from their congregation named Epaphroditus with a material gift of some sort. We're not given the details, but certainly it supports Paul and it helps him in a time of need. And so Paul expresses his appreciation for the gift that they sent him, but then he wants to make something very clear that their gift is not something upon which he depends in order to be content in his current situation. Before they sent their gift, Paul is saying, even though I was in want, even though I had very little, even though there were things that I would like to have, I was still content. And now that you have sent me a gift, now that I've received this wonderful sign of friendship and support from you, I am content. My contentment is not dependent on what I have or what I have received, including what you have done for me. Now, at first, that might sound a little bit ungrateful. Why can't he just say thank you and leave it at that? Why does he feel like he needs to make the point that their gift is not something he depends on in order to be content? What Paul is teaching and what Paul has learned in his own life is this, that he is free to live his life in contentment regardless of what he has or what other people do for him. And because he is free from, in this case, depending upon a gift, he is free to love the Philippian believers regardless of whether they're taking care of him or not. He is free to love them. He is free to care for them. He's free to minister to them. He is free to do all he can to support them because he's not sitting in his jail cell waiting for them and going, I can't believe they have not yet helped me. I can't believe that I'm sitting here just as lacking certain things. And then when finally the gift comes, well, thank you, I really appreciate it. But what he's really thinking, well, it's about time. See, Paul's saying, I have learned not to live my life that way. Because when I am free from depending upon you in order to be content in the situation in which I find myself, then I'm free to love you. I'm free to care for you. I am free to be glad in God for you, regardless of how you are helping me or not helping me with my current difficult circumstance. I am free. And it means that the Philippians are free. It means that they're free to love Paul for Paul. They don't have to feel guilty. They don't have to feel an obligation. He doesn't want them to think that somehow it is their job because the church in Philippi was started by him. He was their first pastor. He's the one who shared the gospel with me. That somehow now that it is their responsibility in some sense to take care of Paul. And therefore, if Paul is hurting, if Paul is not doing well, if Paul is struggling, then somehow it's their fault. They wouldn't be free to love Paul for Paul. All they would be able to do is to say, we hope we're meeting our obligation. We hope we're doing everything that we're supposed to take care of Paul. It would feel like an obligation, the gift that they sent. But because Paul shares with them, and because Paul lives a life in which he has learned to be content in every circumstance, including the one in which he finds himself, their gift is gladly received. You have done well to care for me. I am grateful. There's no lack of gratitude in Paul, but it is a freeing gratitude, not an obligating gratitude. It is an opportunity to be in relationship with his God and with others, free from circumstances dictating to him or to the Philippians how they are to deal with one another. Paul says, I have learned the secret. I don't have time to focus a lot. I had a lot of notes on learned and had to eliminate a lot or would be here for a long time. But so let me just quickly just say it's important to recognize that Paul says, I have learned. It wasn't that Paul became a believer on the road to Damascus. Within a couple of days, he was content in all circumstances. He had to learn this. And he had to learn it by going through all kinds of circumstances. I have learned in circumstances where I have a lot, where I have little, is what he says. I have learned this. So if you and I leave this morning going, well, good for Paul, but how in the world am I going to get anywhere near where Paul is? Well, it is something we need to learn. It is something we need to grow into. It's not just automatic. Paul had to learn it. If we want to experience contentment in all circumstances, we have to learn it also by going through it. But by going through it as Paul went through it, and that's where the secret comes in. So Paul, what is your secret? How did you learn this? Now, before we get to the secret, as he gives it to us, I just want to dispel a couple of things that were not his secret. Ways in which people often deal with the issue of contentment. Some people just want to deny it outright. They just want to say, you know, there's no such thing as contentment. I'm not even going to try. I'm not even going to attempt to be happy in my situation. It's just the way it is. It's fate. It's karma. It's, you know, whatever. It's the universe. Up to whatever the universe is up to. That's just the way it is what it is, as people like to say so much these days. And so they try to convince themselves, I don't really care. Hey, it's not important to me. Oh, I'm not upset because I don't have this or that or the next thing. They're trying to talk themselves into something that it really doesn't matter. That is certainly not what Paul is saying. He's certainly not saying, you know, a mature Christian is someone who's not worried about contentment. A mature Christian is someone who's put that behind themselves. They're not about, you know, feeling good about these kinds of things. No, Paul is not saying that at all. He's not saying that is something that Christians give up as if there's something wrong with being content in all of our circumstances. So that's not his secret, even though oftentimes people will go there when they talk about, when they think about contentment. Another thing that is not a secret for Paul is that he says, I have somehow figured out how to make myself content. I have somehow tried to convince myself that every situation in which I find myself is a good situation, and therefore I'm content in it. I'm sitting here in a jail cell. My secret is that I love being in jail. I am here under the possible sentence of death as I await trial before Caesar. Oh, I just love being in that place. I just love anticipating whether or not they're going to kill me. I'm just so happy that I'm not able to travel as I have been doing for years, sharing the gospel with people, encouraging Christians, bringing people like Timothy and Silas along, and together in a brother and sisterhood of faith, we are sharing the gospel with others. Oh, I'm so glad that I can't do that anymore. I just love being right where I am. No, that is not his secret either. Neither to deny contentment, nor to try to say that I am content because I am fine with the situation. We need to be very clear about this. Paul does not say, I am content with every circumstance. He is not content with every circumstance. Early in the letter, he said it very clearly, I long to be with you, as he's speaking to the Philippians. There are things that I want to achieve. I am not content here with the circumstance, but I have learned how to be content in every circumstance. And there's a difference there. It may sound subtle, just two little different prepositions, but they're crucial. So what is his secret? He gives it to us in verse 13. The secret is that he is in Christ. That's his secret. In Christ. Doesn't sound like much of a secret. Paul uses that terminology just over and over and over again. But Paul says, no, that's my secret. In Christ. I have learned to be content in every circumstance, because in every circumstance, I am in Christ while I'm in that circumstance. That is the key to my contentment, is to remember to whom I belong, to remember who lives in me, to remember who is the one who gives me the strength to be content in every circumstance. I am not here on my own, trying in my own strength, my own ability, my own emotional capacity, my own psychological awareness to manage, to navigate this circumstance as to whether or not I'm content in it. I am in Christ. I am here with Christ. He is with me in this circumstance. We're in this together. See, for Paul, the Christian life is a life of relationship with Jesus Christ, a living, dynamic, active, effective relationship with Jesus Christ. As I trust it is for me, and as I trust it is for you, that as Christians, we're not content, to use that word in a different way. We're not just simply saying that to be a Christian for me is to know a lot about Jesus, to have some knowledge of what's going on in the Bible, to try to be a good person like he wants me to be, and live the very best life I can. Kind of Jesus over there, Jesus out there, Jesus as he lived 2,000 years ago and told me to love my neighbor and told me to care about people, and that's what being a Christian means to me. Is Jesus out there and I try to do what he asks and to believe that what he did is real and true. No, Paul says, it's Jesus in me and me in him. And so when Christ is in me, every day there are certain blessings and certain strength that Jesus Christ desires to give me today. To be a Christian is not just about following the rules and living the good life according to something that is out there, even though it is very good what is out there in Scripture and in what we know about Jesus Christ and His life in this world 2,000 years ago. Christ is in me, Paul says. And with Christ in me, as I have gone through these circumstances, I have learned that as I rely on Him, as I pray to Him, as I am aware of Him in my life, He gives me the strength to be content. Paul says, verse 13, many people know this, probably the most well-known verse in all of Philippians, I can do all things in Christ who gives me the strength. What are the all things Paul's talking about? Being content in every circumstance. I need strength to do that, Paul says. I know that. But Christ is the one in me giving me the strength. What Paul is doing in these verses is really a continuation of something that he started talking about a few verses earlier. Back in verses 6 and 7, Paul says something else that sometimes is hard to accept, hard to live, hard to hear. Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. I mean, these absolutes of Paul. Can't I be anxious about a little bit, Paul? Don't be anxious about anything, he says. And here in these verses, I have learned to be content in everything. Everything is everything. And don't be in anything is don't be in anything. Paul's not saying it's 90% Jesus and 10% me doing the best I can. Oh, he says, it's 100% Jesus. Don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious in any circumstance, Paul is saying. And then he says, but in everything, in every circumstance, make your requests known to God. That is, pray about it. And that is the activation, if you will, of the secret. The activation of the secret that we are in Christ, that He is in us. And that one of the gifts, one of the blessings that He is able to bring us through His strength is the blessing of contentment, the blessing of being at peace, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of, as He says, whether we have a lot or a little, whether things are going well or whether we're struggling. Pray about it, He says. Give it to Him. Back in verse 7, and the peace of Christ, not a worldly peace, not a humanly derived peace, not an emotionally manufactured peace, the peace of Christ, parenthesis, which can only be in us if Christ is in us. You can't have the peace of Christ in you if Christ is not in you. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, again, if you're living a Christian life at a distance from Him, trying to do everything right, but the peace of Christ will not be there. But he says, if Christ is in you, if you're in Christ, if this for you is a relationship today, right now, in the moment in which you find yourself, in the circumstance that you're dealing with, prayerfully take that circumstance to Christ. And He will give you the strength that you may experience contentment in it. The secret is being in Christ, and we activate the secret through prayer. Be in prayer. And if that sounds too simple, if that sounds too spiritual, if that sounds too holy in some negative sense, that in a negative way, I would suggest that people, including Christians who have that response, are people who really haven't tried it. People who really don't trust what the Bible is telling them. Paul is saying it categorically, and by the Holy Spirit, we are being given the word, if you pray, you will have the peace of Christ. You will be content. What are we going to do with that? Are we going to sit back and go, I don't know about that? Or are we willing to put it to the test if we haven't already? Are we willing to say, God, this is your promise. I'm going to take you at your word. And the next time I'm in a circumstance where I'm clearly not content, I'm feeling the pressure, I am discontent, I'm going to pray. How many prayers? It doesn't say. How long do I have to pray? It doesn't say. Christianity is not a stopwatch religion. If I do 5 minutes of prayer, God's going to give me, you know, five portions of contentment or something like that. No. It's pray. And if I'm not feeling content yet, pray. Too simple? Many things in the Christian life are pretty simple and pretty straightforward. And the reason we don't experience them isn't because they're difficult to understand. It's because we're unwilling to put them into practice. I think that's why Paul said, I had to learn this. He was a proud, type A, kind of go-for-it personality. I'm sure he entered the Christian life with, hey, I could do the Jewish thing and I can do the Christian thing, you know? And he went through circumstances. And he wasn't content. And he turned to God and said, God, what am I going to do with this thorn in the flesh? Please take it away from me. Read about that back in 1 Corinthians. And what does Paul say? What does God say to Paul? My grace is sufficient. No, you're going to go through the circumstance, but you're going to learn that my grace is sufficient. And Paul learned that through prayer. And so can we. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, your word comes to us in a very direct fashion from the Apostle Paul. When he says that he has learned the secret, he is not puffing himself up or saying somehow that he's a super Christian. But in many ways, he's confessing something. By having to learn this, he is clearly saying there was a time in my Christian life that I hadn't learned it yet. I wasn't living this way. I was not content. I found myself in difficult circumstances and I got upset with God and I got angry with other people that they weren't taking care of me or doing what they should to help me, at least from my perspective. I was living a life where I thought that I could manufacture my own contentment, or perhaps even for a while I thought that contentment just was below a good spiritual Christian. But now I have learned, Paul says, and I dearly want you, my friends in Philippi, to learn the same thing, that in Christ, through a relationship with him that is constantly being lived out in prayer, we can be content. We can be content in all circumstances, even if we're not content with the particular circumstance itself. So, Father, may we, like Paul, be willing to learn these things. May we be willing to activate what you have already given us, which is prayer. When we find ourselves discontent, when we find ourselves under pressure to want to try to change things so that we feel better about them, or accomplish something so that we feel better about some issue or situation in our life. And perhaps we should do that. Nothing wrong with seeking improvement, but to be content not because we've been able to improve something, but to be content because you're with us, both in the way things have been and perhaps in the way that things will be in the future. To be content in want and in plenty. We thank you that you are a good God. We thank you that your Son, Jesus Christ, is in us through your Holy Spirit. May we constantly, daily, indeed every moment of the day, access that relationship as we turn to you in prayer. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.